And now, without any further delay, I would like to turn today's Academy Live webcast, Form-Driven Mashups Using InfoPath and SharePoint 2010, over to Nick Dollett, Program Manager. Nick is Lead Program Manager for Microsoft InfoPath. Before moving to the Office team, Nick was a lead developer for Windows Update. Nick, you now have the floor.
Thank you so much, Carly. Good morning and welcome, everyone. My name is Nick, and today I'm going to be talking about how you can help your users make better, faster, and more effective decisions by creating enterprise mashups on SharePoint 2010 using the new InfoPath form web part. I've got a packed schedule today. As you can see, I am going to have a lot of demos. I'm going to try to spend most of the time in demos. Before that, I'm going to start and kind of set the stage, define some terms so that hopefully we're all on the same page about what I'm going to be showing you today. And at the end, you know, I'll wrap things up a little bit. But for the most part, I'm going to be in demos. Here you can see a snapshot of the 8 separate demos that I'll be showing you today, each one illustrating a different aspect of what you can do on SharePoint using web parts. So when my team and I first started putting together this presentation, we agonized a bit about whether to use the term mashup. The reason is that mashup is a buzzword. It's a big hot term on the internet right now. And of course, the problem with buzzwords is that we all think we know what they mean, when in fact we may all have a slightly different idea about what that term means. So mashup is one of those terms. So I want to take just a minute to set the stage and kind of give you my view of what a mashup is. And I think probably the best way to start off with that is to show you a kind of an example of what I think of as a classic style of data mashup. And I'm going to let our friends over at IDV Solutions show you that through this video.
Visual Fusion is enterprise mashup software from IDV Solutions that integrates with Bing Maps, SharePoint, and other Microsoft products to form a platform for rapidly building out business-focused applications. Visual Fusion apps bring together content from just about any available source in a world-class user experience that is highly visual, intuitive, and empowering. Litware Channel Analyzer is a mashup application created with Visual Fusion to demonstrate rapid integration with Bing Maps, SharePoint, and InfoPath. Users of this application can easily navigate through different views of the data, such as store data aggregated at the state level, flipping through different quarterly results, or fine-tuning the performance basis by which states are displayed can be done easily. Hovering over a state or clicking on it reveals more detail. Similarly, individual store data can be queried as well. Individual stores can be represented in a number of different ways, including as bars with heights determined by the underlying data. Prospective customers can be represented in a number of ways, and in this case it was determined that a heat map would be the most informative approach to visualizing the data. Visual Fusion can mash up data from just about any source, but the most common are SharePoint lists and libraries, Excel files, SQL Server, and web feeds. In fact, users can even add relevant content such as web feeds and search results in an ad hoc manner to supplement the default view. The events feed source is a SharePoint library with InfoPath forms in it. As InfoPath forms are submitted into this library, they are geo-referenced and immediately become a part of the visualization. Visual Fusion applications can be built to include many different action operations available to their users. For this application, Using the spatial query tool to select stores results in some useful business intelligence, as well as appropriate actions such as creating an Excel spreadsheet, launching an email message primed with the contact info from all the selected stores, or kicking off some type of workflow for this particular group of stores. In this case, we want to create a new marketing event, and InfoPath gives us a great way to get the ball rolling. Once the form is submitted, it is housed in our marketing events library and becomes available for viewing within the application. The key component of the InfoPath library is the location field. This is used to fetch latitude and longitude coordinates from Bing Maps so that the item can be accurately displayed on the front-end map. SharePoint and InfoPath are powerful tools for building business-focused mashups that integrate normal workflow and process in ways that make users much more efficient. Visual Fusion extends these capabilities with data visualization and interactive tools on the front end, as well as simple GUIs and powerful APIs for both rapid and highly customized development on the back end. Visual Fusion and SharePoint combine to form a powerful mashup platform to create apps that promote better, faster decision-making for just about any business scenario.
Thank you, Scott. So, I promised that I would give you my definition of a mashup. So there's a lot of definitions of mashup out there. Here's some of the ones that I found out on the internet. But the one that I want to pay attention to is this one, and I want to talk about the three highlighted points. These are the things that I consider the most important. The first is that we want business users, you know, regular people doing their daily work, to be able to create these mashups on SharePoint. Now, the key to that is having a rich library of web parts that they can choose from to do their work. So those of you who are developers, your job is not done, because people can only create rich mashups to the degree that they have rich web parts that they can link together in these mashups. And once you have a set of rich, flexible mashup tools in the way of web parts, it becomes easy for business users to, you know, to create the things that they need by linking them together. Now, in the demo that you just saw, you saw one big Silverlight web part, which has a lot of powerful functionality to draw data from SharePoint and mash it up together onto a map. The mashups I'm going to be showing you use much more basic building blocks, but the principles are the same. And in fact, today I'm going to be showing you two design patterns for building these mashups. The IDV Solutions tool is an example of what I'm going to be showing as design pattern number two. But before I get ahead of myself, I'll go ahead and I'll show you those design patterns in line as we go through the demos. Okay, well, that said, let's go ahead and move into the demos. And I'm just moving over onto my desktop sharing. So what you're seeing now is the customer list from Contoso Office Supplies. As a customer manager for Contoso, I have a relationship with Litware, and I can come into this site, and thanks to the new functionality in SharePoint 2010, I can customize the form for this list using InfoPath so that when I click on a customer, I see the details of that customer in a rich form in a dialog that shows up over the list. And, you know, this is great, but really what I need to do today when Susan calls me up, you know, I get to see her information here, but really what she wants to know is she wants to know what are her pending orders. Before she can go ahead and submit a new order from me, she needs to know what is already coming into her. So I need to click over here to the orders list. I need to go up here and filter the customer to Litware. And then once I do that, well, now I can see, oh, she's got ink cartridges and coloring cartridges coming. But I'd really like to do better than that. What I'd like is to be able to see that information in line here on the customer form. Well, with SharePoint 2010, we can do that. Now, what's not immediately obvious about that dialog with the form in it is that that's not just a form showing in a dialog. That's actually a web part page. And like any web part page, it can be customized. So to do that, I'm going to come in here to List on the List tab. I'm going to look at Form Web Parts, and this is going to show me all of the forms that are available for this item in the list. I'm going to look at the content type forms, and I'm going to choose the display form because that's the form we were looking at. When I bring this up, you can see this is a web part page, and it's got the customer information form right here. So I could add the orders list and then add a filter from the form to the list to dynamically filter the list based on the chosen customer. But SharePoint is actually going to make that much easier for me. If I go up here into Page Tools, I can just insert a related list. I choose the orders list, and SharePoint is going to go ahead and hook up that relationship for me. So you see now it's added the related orders down here at the bottom. And now when I go back in and stop editing and view the page, you'll see that now when I click on Litware, when the display form comes up for Litware, I also have the orders that are relevant to Litware. So I see the ink cartridges and the color ink cartridges there. Okay, so very quickly, I've added a lot of value by putting a list and a form together and using a filter to be able to drive one data set with the other data set. Well, you know, this is great. I now have that information that I need, but typically when Susan calls me up, she also wants to submit a new order at that time. So why can't I have the form, the list of orders, and then a new order form so that I can go ahead and submit the order right there? Well, of course, we can do that too. We're going to need a little bit more real estate. So I'm going to come over here to Site Actions, More Options. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new web part page. And what I want is I'm going to choose a page with a left column and a body. I'm going to give this a name. And I'll go ahead and create that page. Now I'm going to add three web parts to this page. I'm going to add two lists in this left column. One is going to be the customer list, and the other is going to be the orders list. I'm going to add the orders list first because things get added at the top, and I want that to be down at the bottom. There you go. And you notice that these views are awfully large in the list, so I'm going to go ahead and choose views that I've already created that are a little bit more compact. So I'm going to edit the web part here. I'm going to choose my customer names only view. And then I'm going to do something very similar with the orders. Okay, I've got those. Now over on this side, I'm going to add a web part. And what I'm going to choose is the InfoPath form web part. Now, what you're seeing here is an older build. In the newer builds of Office 2010, and as it will be released, there is a forms category where you'll find the InfoPath form web part. So we're going to go ahead and add that. And we're going to click here to open the tool pane, as it says, and then we're just going to edit this to choose the orders list, because what we're going to use is the new order form, which is the customized form for the orders list. I'm also going to come in here to appearance, and I'm going to set the Chrome type to none. And what that's going to do is it means it's not going to say InfoPath Form Web Part or the title of the web part at the top of the page. Okay, so I've got my web parts here in line, and now the only thing I need to do is set up the connections. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a connection from the customers list to filter the orders list. So I'm going to send a row of data to the orders list, and in this dialog that comes up, I'm going to choose Get Filter Values From. And when I configure that, what I'm going to do is I am going to send the ID of the customer, and I'm going to link that to a lookup field in orders, which is called Customer ID. And these two lists are already related by virtue of the fact that orders has this lookup to customer. That creates a relationship between the two lists, a primary and foreign key relationship, if you will. And so now when I click Finish, now for each of these people that I select, I'm going to see the orders that are related to them. Now that's the same connection that we had in the display form earlier. Okay, but the second thing I need to do is I need to send a parameter from the customers list over to the InfoPath form web part, and what that's going to do is it's going to cause InfoPath to look up the right data for the current customer. So get data from is what we want. What I'm going to do is this time I'm actually going to use a different field called customer ID, and this is actually a string ID that we're generating for each customer, and I'm going to send that into InfoPath into a field called custIDParam. This is a parameter that I set up in the form, and I'll show you how I did that in just a few minutes. So when I click Finish here, now our connections are all set up, and now you see that when I go into runtime of the page, for every customer that I select, you're going to see the information about that customer in the new order form. All right, that's how we build the page. Let me show you how that form works. So if I come to the orders list, I'm going to come to list, I'm going to click on customize form, and what this is going to do is it's going to bring up the InfoPath designer with the form that I've already customized for this list. Technical difficulty here. Try that again. My apologies, folks. This should just take a moment. I apparently didn't warm up my server properly this morning. So what you're going to see when I get this form up is that each of the fields in the list are already exposed as list columns. But there's a separate step you can take in InfoPath on the form options page to promote certain properties as web part connection properties. So we've done that with a field which is called custIDParam. And when custIDParam is populated, I fire a rule. Let me show you that here. So here's the custIDParam field. If I manage rules for that field, you see that I have three things that happen when that field is set, right? So the web part connection, when you click on a customer, SharePoint is actually going to set the field within the InfoPath form with the value from the customer's list. And so what's going to happen then is I'm going to set a field's value twice. The first one is I'm going to take the actual the customer ID field, and I am going to go ahead and put it into the query parameter of a secondary data source, which is looking up the customer information from the SharePoint list. And I'm also going to set a customer ID field in the form using the actual customer ID from the list. And what that is going to do is it's going to cause the form to be set up properly so that when I submit the order, it will associate it with the right customer. Okay? And then the third thing I'm going to do is I'm going to query for data using the secondary connection for which I already set the query parameter to the customer ID. When I set that filter parameter and then query the data source, it's going to bring back records that match that customer ID. Because that's a unique ID in this list, it's only ever going to bring back one ID, or rather one customer. And we're going to take the data from that data source, and we're going to put it into these calculated value fields in the form. And so if you look at the properties for these calculated value fields, you'll see that we're using this return data from the secondary data connection customers. Now let me just show you where I set up that web part parameter. So if I come into form options, forgive me, I misspoke. For any list form, all of the fields in that form are already exposed as web part connection properties. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I'll show you that dialog I talked about in the next demo. Okay, so that's a way that we can create a new order form and a new order page for my customers list, you know, and that's also great, but I haven't shown you the easiest thing to do with a web part page using a list and an InfoPath form, and that is to set up a master detail view. So let's go ahead and do that just to round out the set of things you can do. So I'm going to create a new web part page. We'll just go ahead and we'll choose a vertical layout. We'll name the page. And once again, I'm going to add two web parts. I'm going to add the customer's list. And then I'm going to add a form using the InfoPath form web part. And rather than opening up the tool pane and configuring this, I'm going to get my form using a web part connection. So under connections on the InfoPath form web part, I'm going to choose get form from customers. And I'm done. So now we've automatically set up the relationship so that when I choose a customer here, it's going to bring up the form for that customer. And I probably want to get a little bit more compact view again. So right now I'm seeing the default form for this default view for this form, which is the edit form. But I'm going to go in and create a little different situation here by editing the web part, and I am going to choose a different view. So what I want to choose is the display view, which is a little bit more compact. And then when I say OK, now I see a more compact view of that form. OK, so I want to review what we did there. I'm going to go back to my slides briefly. So what I showed you there was three demos. And in the first, what I did was I used the insert-related list or insert-related item menu item in the web part page to create a filtered relationship between an InfoPath form running in a web part and a list, in this case the orders list. So the second thing I showed you was how to create a page where not only do we have that filter relationship, this time between the customer's list and the orders list, but I also sent data over to a new order form, and then I used InfoPath to fire off a data connection to pull in information about that customer when we set that parameter. And then the last thing that I showed you is the master detail view, where I sent a parameter from the customer list. I used the get form from connection option to pull up the form for that list. And again, we automatically set up that relationship and the filter link when we did that. Okay, so these three mashups are perfect examples of the first design pattern that I want to talk about today. The first design pattern is what I call the connection-oriented design pattern. And the idea is that you have web parts for which you can use web part connections to filter or to drive behavior in the other web parts. And I'm going to show you several more examples of that sort of mashup, which just uses web part connections to do its work. Okay, so I'm going to move back over into my demos, and I'm going to show you something a little bit richer than that. Let me just switch over here. Okay, so I'm going to go back to my home page. So, at Microsoft, as with most places, there are sometimes technical issues, and because of that, we have a help desk. So the mashup I'm going to show you now is actually something that we are putting into production as our help desk for the Office team. Okay, so this is FastHelp, and what you're seeing here is three web parts on a web part page. So the first two web parts are actually InfoPath forms. So this form right here, on the left-hand side, you see the entry form, and this form is a rich InfoPath form which allows you to, you know, enter help requests, and it also allows the help technicians to see requests and to operate on them. And then on the right-hand side of the page where you see Welcome Nick, we actually have an InfoPath form. This InfoPath form doesn't have any interactivity at all. All it does is it has a data connection to the user profile web service on SharePoint, and it's pulling in information about the person who logs into the page. So this is interesting because until I created this web part, I didn't really realize what InfoPath was doing in this release. But with this type of web part, you can see that InfoPath allows you to create a rich web part to pull data into your page without writing any code. I'm going to say that again because that's pretty revolutionary. InfoPath allows you to create web parts without writing any code, but with full rich functionality. I think that's actually something that's pretty cool, and it's something that's going to make SharePoint much more valuable and, you know, bring a lot more to the table in this release. So let me show you what happens with this form. When I choose a problem category, two things are going to happen. So the first thing is that the form itself is going to filter the second dropdown. It's going to do what we call, you know, cascading dropdown behavior to show only problems relating to that problem category. The second thing that's going to happen is this knowledge base item over here on the right side of the page is going to filter to show related items in the knowledge base for the problem category that I've created. And this related items is not an InfoPath form. This is actually a list in SharePoint, which I've created a nicely formatted view. As new items get added to the knowledge base, they'll show up here so that, you know, hopefully more and more users, when they choose an issue type, they're going to find their answer right here. They're not going to have to submit the help request. So into the problem area, you see that I actually then get a number of fields that are related to the problem area. And so then when I fill this out, set a priority and create a new request. Now the new request gets created, and we see a different view of the InfoPath form with a request number that we've generated. So you can see that with the InfoPath form, we've got some quite rich functionality, but we also have this web part mashup effect where we've got a number of related web parts in the page, and we're using filters and also the query to the user profile web service to bring a bunch of related information that's going to help me in creating my help request. So let's take a look at that help request form and talk about how that's built and how that works. So again, I'm going to come up here to the help request list, come to the list tab, click customize form, and that's going to bring up the form in InfoPath Designer. I apologize again. I think I'm having a DNS resolution issue, which is causing this delay in bringing up these forms. Again, what this help desk request form does is something that's very similar to what the order request form did. When I choose that problem category dropdown, it's going to do a couple of things. One, it's going to set a query parameter in the SharePoint list query that I use to query the problem areas list. The problem areas list will then get filtered to the items that match, and that's going to show in the problem areas dropdown. But also what I'm going to do is, at that point, the InfoPath form is going to send a filter parameter over to the knowledge base list. And what that's going to do is, there we go, and that's going to filter the knowledge base list. Okay, so let me go here over to the primary view. So you can see that when I choose a problem category, I'm going to manage rules here for this field, it's going to send data to web part. So this is a new rule action in InfoPath 2010. And what this does is, when your form is hosted as a web part, when this rule fires, it's going to send the web part parameter to whatever other web parts are listening to web part notifications from the InfoPath form web part. Okay, so this is actually pretty powerful, because it means that, you know, it's not just at the load of the form that I can send a filter parameter. I can send a filter parameter when some event happens in my form. And in this case, it's the change event on a field. Okay, then the second thing I'm doing is I'm setting the query value, or the query parameter, in this secondary lookup to my problem areas list, setting the problem area category. And then it queries using that problem areas data connection to pull in the data for the problem areas dropdown. And it's the same thing that I showed you in the new orders list. Okay, so once you've got that, then in the web part page, go back over to that. So all we've done here is, from the help web part, we've set up a web part connection to the related items list, which sends a filter parameter using a web part connection. So this is once again an example of the first design pattern, which is using a web part connections to send data across. Okay, well, so far I've shown you a bunch of mashups which use InfoPath forms and lists. So let's show you something a little bit different, which might, you know, show you a little bit more of the value of or the power of what we can do beyond just forms and lists. And what I'm going to show you is how you can drive calculations in an Excel workbook using an InfoPath form in a mashups page. Okay, so here's an Excel loan calculator. Let me show you how it works. So if I say I want to borrow $300,000 at an interest rate of 4.5%. And I want to take out a loan for 30 years, and I want the loan to start today. When I fill in those values, Excel is going to go ahead and calculate the amortization schedule, and it's going to show it in this section down below. Okay, this isn't anything, you know, that I created. It's not something, you know, extra special that nobody can get a hold of. You can actually go to Office Online and download the loan calculator template today and use this same workbook. So I haven't modified it at this point in any way. But what I want to do now is I want to set up a couple of things to allow it to be hosted in a web part. So I'm going to go to the Share tab in the Backstage, and I'm going to say Publish to Excel Services. And in the Save dialog here, I have Excel Services options. Okay, instead of, hold on, one more thing I need to do here. What I'm going to do is, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to select this amortization schedule, because this is what I want to show in my web part. Okay, so I'm going to choose you know, about 300 rows, and I'm going to define a name, and I'm going to call this amortization. Okay, so that now when I come here into Excel Services properties, instead of showing the entire workbook in the web part page, what I want to show is just the amortization item. So I'm going to choose items in the workbook, and I want to choose the amortization named range. The other thing I'm going to do is I want to come here to the parameters tab, and I want to expose those four fields which hold the loan amount, the start date, the interest rate, and the number of years of the loan. And I want to expose those as web part parameters. Now, these are already named parameters in the Excel workbook that you'll download off Office Online. Okay, so once I've done those things, I've already saved a version of this up to SharePoint, so I'm going to ignore that. What I've done is I've saved that Excel workbook now into an Excel form library. Okay, so we'll look at that again in a minute. The other thing I want to show you is the loan form, the loan calculator form. So this is a form that I've created an InfoPath, and you notice I've set up the view to be narrow and tall. This is so that it'll fit nicely in the left hand of a web part page. And I've got the fields with loan amount, interest rate, length of loan, and start date. And you know, because this is InfoPath, I've been able to very simply set up some defaults and some constraints to make this an easier form filling experience. So for example, for the loan amount, I've set a default loan amount of $300,000. The interest rate I've set up to be a numeric field. The length of loan I've actually set up as a drop-down list box, which shows a number of canned lengths of loans that you can choose. So say I only offer loans in the amounts of 15, 20, 25, or 30 years, you know, I can constrain that using the drop-down list box. And finally, the start date is going to default to today. I've got a cute little picture button here, which is the calculator, which is going to allow me to fire off my calculation. And I'll show you that, you know, if I look at rules on this picture button, the action that this picture button is going to take is it's going to send data to WebPart, the same thing that we showed you before. So again, you know, no data is going to be sent until we click this button. Okay, the other thing I want to show you is that because this is a form library form, we can manually set up promotion of not only columns to the list. This is existing functionality that you may be familiar with from previous versions of InfoPath, but we can also separately decide which fields are going to be available as web part parameters. So we have set up all four of these parameters as output parameters. I just want to demonstrate here that you can set these up as output or as input-output. So InfoPath does allow, you know, two-way communication. In this case, we're only going to use them as output parameters. Okay, and I have published this form to a SharePoint form library, so it's already ready to go. So let's go back onto SharePoint, and let's set up that page. So I'm going to go in and create a new web part page again. And I'm going to call this Loans Demo. I'm going to go with the left column and body layout again. Okay, so when we create this page, we're going to add a web part here, and of course we're going to put our form, our loan form in here. sorry. I want to go to the InfoPath form web part and add that. And when we select the form for this, we're going to select a form that is attached to the loan form library. And once again, I am going to turn off the Chrome for that. All right, and now in the body, we're going to add the Excel web access web part. And then we're going to configure this to use the web part that we saved into shared documents. So here we will browse to the workbook. And we will choose shared documents. And then we will choose the loan calculator. All right, and that's going to show the loan calculator in the form. Now you see that in the options for Excel Web Access, we could choose a named item to show in the web part. We've already done that from within Excel, so we don't need to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and say OK. And that's going to give me my, you know, my Excel workbook over here and my loan calculator. Now you notice that we have we actually have a form. This is actually a form that Excel Web Access is going to generate automatically for populating the parameters in the web part. But you'll see that when we set up the connection between these two web parts, because those parameters are being supplied externally, you're not going to see that anymore. Now, in the past, what I've shown you is how to set up connections from within the web part page itself. However, this allows you to only send one parameter. And in this case, we need to send four parameters. And to do that, we're going to have to use SharePoint Designer. So I've opened up my site in SharePoint Designer here. And let me just refresh my view here to show my loans demo page. Okay, so I'm going to pull up this page. I'm going to choose to edit the file. All right, so I'm going to bring that up. And while that's happening, I'm just going to just start that loading there. All right, so this page now is loading in SharePoint Designer. And you see here is the InfoPath form web part. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to select the InfoPath form web part. And then in the web part tools, I'm going to choose add connection. And here what I'm going to do is I'm going to, from the InfoPath form web part, I'm going to send data to, connect to a web part on this page. I'm going to choose the Excel web access web part. Get multiple filter values, that's correct. And now what I can do is here are the input parameters to the Excel web part, and over on this side are, on the left side, are the columns in the InfoPath form. So I'm just going to choose the parameters being sent from InfoPath that correspond to each of the parameters in the Excel web access page. Loan starts and years. I say next. I say finish. And now that's that connection is all set up. Okay, so I'll save that page. And now when I go back to the loan calculator page, now you see I've got the form, I've got the amortization schedule there. So now when I type in the values in my InfoPath form, when I click the picture button, it's going to go ahead and pass the parameters over to Excel, and Excel is going to do the calculation. Okay, so again, this is an example of the first design pattern, which is the connection-oriented design pattern, which allows you to, you know, pass connection parameters and drive rich behavior using those parameters. Okay, so I'd like to switch gears a little bit and show you an example of the second design pattern. So the second design pattern is what I call the list-based design pattern. And the idea here is that rather than using web part connections, you use an input one or more lists in SharePoint, and all of the web parts drive their activity off of what happens in that list. So in October at Microsoft, every year, the month of October, we have something called the Giving Campaign. And this is where Microsoft employees are encouraged to give to their favorite charities. Microsoft matches the donations, and we kind of track that activity. And of course, we have a certain amount of good-natured competition between various business divisions. So here's a page which allows us to give money and to do that tracking. So you see up here in the upper left-hand corner, we have a Silverlight web part. If you folks have had the opportunity to see Mike Amerlan's demo on how to build Silverlight web parts and use them in InfoPath, this is actually the web part that he does. And what this is it's a thermometer, and the level of the mercury here reflects how many donations have been given. And the way that happens is this Silverlight web part points to a SharePoint list, and it goes ahead and sums up a column and uses that to determine the level of the mercury. Down below that, you see the chart web part. What this chart web part does is it does a query on a different list, which has the rolled up data for each of the business divisions, how much money has been given for each business division. And what it does is it shows a chart based on that. So let me kind of walk through the runtime of this form and talk about how all that happens. So when I click Give Now, this blue section on the right hand of the page is actually an InfoPath form. So when I click Give Now, this is actually going to bring up the a different view in the InfoPath form, which is going to allow me to specify my donation. So I'm going to put in my name. Here's my employee number. The business group. So let's see. So I'm in the office group, but actually Windows client seems to be the less represented here. So let's pretend today that I'm with Windows client. I'm going to give a donation. You see now I have another field show up, which lets me show the donation amount. And I really want to beat the other business division, so I'm going to give $50. So I'm going to submit that. You know, I get a dialogue that says, thank you for your support. And so now what's happening in the background is that the list, which has all the donations in it, right, so there's one list that this pledge form is hooked up to that has all the donations, that list has been updated. So when we refresh the page, you're going to see the Silverlight web part is going to reflect that extra $50, so the mercury is going to be a little bit higher. The other thing that happens now is a workflow is kicking off, and what the workflow is going to do is it's going to look at the new item that's been submitted to the list, and it's going to go ahead and update based on the business division. It's going to update the total for that business division in the other list, which is the roll-up. Okay, so now when we let the page refresh, you're going to see this mercury is a little bit higher in the thermometer, and you're going to see that now Windows client is ahead because the new list has been updated using using that workflow. Okay, so let me just quickly go back to the slides, and I just want to show you, just so it drives home what's going on here. Let me go ahead and show you that. That diagram. Okay, so we have here the donation form. The donation form is a customized form for the donations list. And when a new item is updated in that list or submitted to that list, a custom workflow in SharePoint Designer workflow kicks off, which goes ahead and updates the group donations list. The chart web part is pulling all of its data from that group donations list. And the custom Silverlight web part, you know, the thermometer, the gauge web part, is pulling all of its data from this donations list. Okay, so by contrast with the other mashups that I've shown you, where we only use web part connections, This actually uses these two lists and a workflow linking the lists to drive all the activity in all the other web parts. Okay, so that's an example of the design pattern number two.
Let's say for this scenario that I am a claims manager for Humongous Insurance. As a claims manager, I've got one main responsibility. A large storm has come through the area, and what I need to do is go through each of the claims that have come through from our clients' properties in the area, and I need to very quickly evaluate the damage, assign a priority to the case based on, you know, the basic information I have about the damage, and assign an adjuster to go out on site and evaluate the claim. Okay? So you can see that I've got four web parts on this page. The first web part is the InfoPath form web part. This shows all the information about the claim. You know, this is the form that was submitted for the claim originally by the customer or by the agent who took the information on the phone. I have here a list of all of the claims. This is just a list web part. Here I have an image viewer web part, which contains a picture of the damage. So a picture that presumably somebody went out on site or our customers went ahead and submitted a picture when they submitted the claim. And here I have a Bing Maps web part. Now this is a web part that we built in-house. It's a custom web part, and you can see that this is actually a live Bing map. And when I zoom all the way out, you can see that all of the claims that are here in this list are represented by pins in the map. Okay, so what's happening here is that this Bing Maps web part is configured to take a pointer to a list and the name of a column. And in this case, it's pointing at this list and it's looking at the insured address column and it's taking that address and it's plotting it on the map. So it's plotting all of the list items on the map together. But this page is a little bit more dynamic than that. So you can see, let me go ahead and zoom back in. So if I go ahead and click on this item in Redmond, the map is going to go ahead and recenter on that pin. So it's going to recenter on the address that corresponds to that claim. And I can, you know, click around here. And for each claim that I choose, it's going to choose the pin that corresponds to that claim. Okay. Furthermore, whenever I choose one of these new items, we're going to see the form for that item show up here. So I get all the detail about that claim. And then here, we're going to see an image of the damage that was caused in the storm for this claim. Okay. So my job, again, is to go through these and to determine a priority and to set an adjuster. So let's go ahead and do that with one of these. So if I click on Aaron Harrell here, I see the image here. Well, it doesn't look like there's actually a hole in the roof. It looks like some shingles have been removed. So this is not one of our top priority cases. Clearly, we want to get someone out there. And also, I see it's here in the main downtown area of Bellevue. Okay, so the fact that it's down there in Bellevue, I know that Peter, one of our adjusters, is working in that area. So I'm going to click up here to office use, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to assign Peter to that case. And then also, I'm going to assign this a priority of 3. And I'm going to go ahead and submit that back to the list. And you can see that very easily using this mashups page, I've got all the contextual information I need to make a quick decision on each of these cases to get someone out there to really serve our customers as well as they can be served. Let me talk about some of the actual interactions and how those are set up. So everything is driven off this list. As I mentioned, we use design pattern number 2 for this Bing Maps web part to be pointed at this list, and this list drives putting all of the pins in the map corresponding to all of the claims. Okay, so design pattern number 2, this web part is driven by this list. It goes and fetches the information that it needs, no connection required. However, we are using connection-oriented semantics as well. So we are using that design pattern number 1. And that is that when I click on one of these items in the list, the connection information gets sent from this list to all three web parts. This form gets the form get form from action, and it shows the form associated with that list item. This image viewer web part takes a row of data and it takes the URL corresponding to the image of the damage and it shows that there. And then the Bing Maps part goes ahead and recenters the map on whichever item was clicked. So if I click here, the item up in Everett, the map is going to go ahead and recenter in Everett and show the pin for that map. Okay, the last piece of information I want to impart is about what happens when you click on one of the pins in the map, because we've hooked up the show pop-up dialog method so that when an item in the map is clicked, we can actually show the form for that item in a pop-up dialog on the site. And that's a piece of SharePoint object model that you can call from JavaScript in your web part, and you can show basically any URL in that dialog. I've got a slide coming up that shows how that's done. So you can see that using the power of mashups, using the InfoPath form web part and a few other web parts, including a custom built web part that we built, I can get a very rich scenario with some very simple codeless logic.
Okay, so for claims management, we have the insurance claims list here. Okay, and then the map web part is pulling its data directly from the claims list. So that's design pattern number two. The list web part, when you choose an item, is going to send a row of data to the map web part. It's going to send get form from to the loan form, and then it's also going to send a row of data with the image URL to the image web part. The other piece I wasn't able to show you is that clicking on a pin in the map web part actually launches an InfoPath form in that same dialog mode that I showed you in my first demo on the list. And that's actually a really cool thing that you can do, and I'm going to show you the code. The code is actually in the slides to call that show pop-up dialog method. So any InfoPath form, and in fact, any URL, you can launch in that dialog within SharePoint from within a web part, which gives you a nice, you know, integrated way to show stuff on top of your web part page. Okay, so let me recap and kind of talk about takeaways that you want to have from this talk and these demos. And the first thing that you know I mentioned at the beginning was that this all lives or dies on having a rich library of web parts. So there are a lot of web parts that ship natively in SharePoint. There's the DataView web part. There's the the InfoPath form web part, which I've shown you. I've shown you the Excel services web part. Visio web access also has a web part which can be data bound. There's some cool scenarios you can do with an InfoPath web part, linking to a Visio diagram. There's the chart web part. There's a Silverlight web part. And of course, for your business, the real power comes from creating your own web parts that may express things that that nobody else has in their business. So for example, if you're in an insurance situation like that one, you might want to have a custom map web part, like we built, or you might want to have an image viewer web part which will display data, say on a picture of a car to show where the damage is in, where the damage is, and so forth. For your own business, I'm sure you can imagine a number of different web parts that could be generally useful to people in the organization. Once that library of web parts exists, web part pages on SharePoint allow you to very quickly set up these scenarios to mash up data. And really what you're trying to do with these mashups is for any given piece of data in your web page, you want to bring in related data to give context and perspective on that data to people who are viewing the page. Of course, one of the things I want you to take away, since I am on the InfoPath team, is that the InfoPath form web part is a very powerful piece of this equation. So it allows you to not only input data, but also to drive rich application functionality. So you saw today some rich web parts that have multiple views, where you change views to show different data depending on what's going on. So for example, with the help request form, I was able to fill out my information in the form, and then when I submitted the form, I got a thank you message in another view, which gave me my confirmation number. The InfoPath form web part can be used for either our new InfoPath list forms or existing form library or content forms. You can use forms with code behind them or codeless forms. You know, with just a few clicks, there's a couple of scenarios that are very easy to put together. So you saw me use the insert related item, menu item, to add a filtered list to the display form of a list form. You also saw me create a master detail page in just a few clicks. And I also showed you two different design patterns. The first is the connection-oriented design pattern, and the second is the list-oriented design pattern. And think about that when you're both when you're creating your web parts and when you are coming up with your mashup scenarios, that you can either use web part connections to drive behavior between one web part and another, or you can have multiple web parts that are pulling data from one list or from a set of related lists that are managed using workflow. And finally, here's the code snippet that I promised you for showing InfoPath forms or indeed any URL in a pop-up dialog. And this you would use in the JavaScript of your web part to call SharePoint object model using the show pop-up dialog method. In this case, what we're doing is we're taking the URL for the display form on the list, we're concatenating the ID of the list item, and then we're showing that in a dialog to show the form for a particular list item. All right, so what I want you to do is go ahead and install SharePoint 2010. The beta is available now. And you know, use InfoPath to create some rich connected web parts. If you come up with some really cool mashup scenarios, we want to see them. Unfortunately, the InfoPath video contest is over. Somebody actually was able to win an Xbox for their wonderful video, but you can still get featured in our blog. The best videos that we see out there that people post to their favorite viral video site showing their end-to-end InfoPath and SharePoint scenarios. We will go ahead and post links to those on our blog and, you know, give you the recognition you deserve. So we would love to see those. All right, to wrap up, a number of questions have come in over live meeting. Let me try to go over a few of them. So we have a question about versioning. Can these mashups be created in WSS 3.0 or in SharePoint Foundation 2010? And no. In fact, this requires the InfoPath form web part. So the InfoPath form web part is available only in InfoPath 2010, or in in SharePoint 2010, and only in the enterprise version of SharePoint. Now, someone else asked, can you deploy InfoPath forms on the extranet for users to be able to fill out in a browser? Absolutely. So there's two different scenarios I think that are implied there. One is extranet, where you're going to be logging into the server, and of course that's equivalent to the intranet scenario. And SharePoint works just fine on the extranet. The second question, you know, that's implied there is, can you have anonymous access forms out on the internet and have these mashups displayed there? Yes, you absolutely can. It is, you know, sometimes a little bit tricky to enable SharePoint to work in an anonymous situation. I know that there are a number of blog posts out on the web which kind of help you with that, and I know there are examples of companies that are using InfoPath forms on their website today. So yes, that's absolutely possible. Somebody else asked what our blog URL is. That is a great question, and you know, I guess I probably should have had that on my slide. I will say it for you so that you can take it down, but also what I want to do is let me see if I can get this on screen for you. And the URL is http blogs.msdn.com/infopath. those of you who want to see that, I'm just going to flip over to my desktop here, and so there's the URL on your screen. People are asking if we can provide a download for the Bing Map web part. We would love to share that code. At this point, it's not really ready for public consumption. I don't know at this point whether we're going to have a version of that available. We may. I'm not going to make any promises at this point. We would very much love to share that with you. It's just going to take some additional time and effort to get that polished up and ready. Folks are asking about what version of InfoPath was used. This is InfoPath 2010 used throughout the demo. All of the web part scenarios are specific to SharePoint and InfoPath 2010. Someone asked, how do we feed data from InfoPath web part to the Silverlight web part? So the Silverlight web part that I showed you was actually a custom web part that used the Silverlight UI. It was not the Silverlight web part that exists in SharePoint. So the Silverlight web part from SharePoint doesn't actually allow web part connections. So if you want to create a Silverlight web part to run in the Silverlight web part in SharePoint, what you're going to need to do is to create a web part that knows how to get data from a particular list and can run based on that, the list-oriented connection or the list-oriented design pattern, which is my design pattern number two. So, there is a web part that ships with SharePoint called the Silverlight web part. All that does is display a web part that's, a ZAP file that's created in Silverlight. If you want to, use that in some of these scenarios, you need to have that web part know about a particular list. So to create the scenario that I showed you, what you would want to do is create a custom web part, in Visual Studio, and have that web part use a Silverlight UI. Folks are asking if the demos will be available for download. Some of them likely will be, not all of them. There is an Office 2010 demo virtual machine, which I believe is available for download now. And we are working on creating content that can be added, that can be applied to that virtual machine to run these demos. So I know we're looking at the customers' orders lists. I know we're looking at the Excel loan calculator. I don't think we're going to have the giving campaign or the insurance scenario available for downloadable demos, until such time as I say that we have those web parts, available in code form in a way that that can be exposed. So somebody on the call was told that InfoPath forms and web parts cannot be used on extranet for users to access in the browser. And can I confirm this is possible? There's no reason why those shouldn't be able to be used. From a technical perspective, those should work just fine. If you're interested in getting some more detail on that, or if you try it out and it doesn't work, maybe if you contact us via our blog, we can get back to you and help with that. Someone is asking whether we can run InfoPath 2007 and 2010 on one machine at the same time. It's possible. They don't run side by side as well as they do by themselves. One problem is that one version of InfoPath always wants to own the XML file extension. That can be a problem. Yes, it sort of works. You can do that for evaluation. For a production scenario, once InfoPath 2010 comes out, I would not recommend that as an option. Better idea would be to have a couple of different virtual machines on your laptop and to have different versions of InfoPath or Office Client on each of them. Another person asked whether the InfoPath web card is available in MOS 2007. And again, the InfoPath form web part, all of the web part scenarios for InfoPath are only available in SharePoint 2010. Okay, so that's the extent of the questions that we have. I believe there were additional questions which we will try to answer, you know, in our blog or in another forum. Thanks a lot, folks, for tuning in.